talking about organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number is to be on the show with me is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I announced quickly in the first hour that we do have a winner of the photo contest. Our mystery photograph was identified as Gamble Oak, G-A-M-B-E-L, and that was the name of the fellow that apparently discovered it. And Lynette in Albuquerque identified it and won our course, the Natural Organic Certification course, landscaping and gardening course. If you're not familiar with it, it's 15 chapters, comes with a 25, 26-page study booklet that's a great cheat sheet. Because you have to pass it, a test every chapter 15 times, 15 chapters, to get through it and become certified by our nonprofit, TORC, Texas Organic Research Center. If you want to know more about TORC, you can go to dirtdoctor.com, click on the TORC button right up at the top, or just go to texasorganicresearchcenter.org. It's kind of a mouthful. The easy way is go through dirtdoctor.com, and it's the place where it's easiest to find the latest news that's going on, you know, research that continues to come out about how bad Roundup is and other toxic chemicals. And we also put the positive things there, too, studies and research and things that we talk about that back up white papers and research and data and all that kind of thing is on TORC. It's nonprofit. If you are interested in helping with it, donating, be greatly appreciated. Anything, you just go to TORC, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org, and you can see the details right there. And my speaking engagements are covered also, how they work, how you can contact our office and see what gives about speaking engagements around the country. I'm enjoying doing them. I'm doing more than I was for a while. We've come up with a couple that really are hitting some buttons with people and getting real good response. The natural organic sort of natural organic pest control one, and the one I do on trees. I cover tree planting and tree management, and you know all the root flare and base issues that we talk about all the time here. And then I end the talk with the fabulous trees of the world, kind of highlighted, I guess, by the incredible tree in Oaxaca, Mexico, the Montezuma cypress, and really have fun with all that. And that information, if you're interested, is covered there. If you on the website on dirtdoctor.com, we let's see, what else was I going to tell you? Oh, somebody called also and couldn't hold before I go back to the phone. A couple of things. And ask if there was an essential oil specifically for bed bugs. Essential oils are kind of generic. Essential oils are things like clove, peppermint, various herbs that have, you know, strong fragrances. Well, those juices out of those herbs, those plants, you know, which are completely non-toxic to people and animals and all that, but when they're used and sprayed on insects, it kills them. And so it doesn't matter if you pick out a specific essential oil, if you just use any of those that have those strong fragrances. Clove and peppermint are probably mentioned and on the label of more products than any other that I run into, but they all work pretty well. Bed bugs are susceptible to the essential oils. It's a good treatment. The other thing, if you really have a problem with them, you need to look into what's called encasements. And these encasements are just that. They're encasements that fit over the entire mattress and literally just, you know, keep them in jail inside these and take them out of being a problem. Keep them inside these encasements, and probably, I guess, because it cuts off the air, probably kills them long term. Putting the encasement and the essential oil in there too is probably the best of both worlds. And let's see. Oh, and I've the other thing I probably ought to mention is when I speak at the Mother Earth News conferences, these fairs that they do, which are gigantic, I do these two talks there. We did a third one at the one we were at that is how to make compost tea, and the garret juice, turn it into garret juice as well. Whether we'll continue to do that, it was fun. Continue to do that, I don't know. Mother Earth News is tending to go that direction, to do these little hands-on presentations where there's only about 60 people in. The lectures, the seminars have hundreds of people, but these hands-on things are much smaller. And they do things like showing you how to make cheese and how to make various kinds of things, how to make vinegars and pickle things and, you know, on and on. And my topic, of course, was compost tea and garret juice. Let's see. Mother Earth News tip. I'll get back to that in a minute. Let me catch up on some phone calls, and we'll do the Mother Earth tip in a minute. And by the way, the photo contest not only won the class, but also won a gift from the Espoma people, 4-pound product of Biotome. So we'll have another one next week, so you can try to win in that case. And the other thing about the course is that if you have a business, a nursery, a landscape company, something like that, and you have employees that might want to take it, if you sign up for multiple people to take the course, you get a discount on the price. If you're a nonprofit, there's also some discounts available, and you can check on that by contacting the phone numbers through our website, dirtdoctor.com. Okay, let's get caught up. Where am I here? Derek Dinosaur, Colorado. Hi, Derek.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Doing great.
My question is concerning asbestos in the soil. I purchased a property, and the previous owners had attempted to remove and burn what's known as transite wallboard. It contains 10% asbestos, mm-hmm. product used in the 40s and the 50s, I believe. And we're intermittently finding this in the clay soil where we've attempted to grow vegetables, tomatoes. I've also grown carrots and potatoes, quite beets. I'm concerned that those root crops may pick up that asbestos and lead to health problems.
I don't see how it could, Derek. You probably need to call some people that specialize in it and ask them. But the asbestos is primarily a problem, as I'm sure you know, to breathe it. You know, it really doesn't break down, stays in your lungs, and creates problems where, you know, cancers grow and things like that. In the soil, it's a little bit like diatomaceous earth. People think that if they put diatomaceous earth in soil, it'll kill insects. And it won't kill them at all. In fact, it's very beneficial in the soil, providing available silica. And silica is one of those things, one of the most plentiful, if not the most plentiful element in the world. It's rarely available really well to plants in the soil. So it doesn't hurt any insects. It's not damaging to breathe. It won't dehydrate the insects because it's moist. And I think that the asbestos would be the same situation. And I don't think the plant would really have the ability to pull it up, into the plant and then be a problem to ingest it. But you ought to contact somebody that specializes in asbestos and ask them. That would just be my gut feeling about it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Derek. Thanks a lot. And anything you do to build up the biological activity in the soil, any contaminant that you have, whether it's heavy metals like lead and arsenic and those kinds of things, or it's some kind of biological contaminant, or if it's whatever it is, doesn't matter. The long-term solution to it is to develop biological activity, and that takes care of it long-term. Yes, including things like heavy metals. I think that the pharmaceuticals, like we talked about last week, may be the hardest to do, but they can be taken care of also. Anything can be broken down. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take. Okay. Let's see who's next. Doug, let's see. Hang on one second. Doug, I think I may have just accidentally deleted Doug. David, if he calls, get him back up, and we'll get him on first. Sorry about that, Doug. I think I hit the wrong button. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. The website is dirtdoctor.com. We've got our counter going. I kind of know where I am time-wise. I'll be back right after this.
Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the wave of the future. All the experts agree that stem cells are the future of medicine, your personal health, and even your longevity.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
For a complimentary consultation, a $200 value, call now, 800-705-6006.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. American Rio is the only high-quality lava product we have seen with significant paramagnetism. Their Maverick Lava Soil Amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. It can be delivered directly to you by one-ton tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And here is Doug, who I rudely hit the wrong button on. Hey, Doug.
How are you doing, Howard?
Doing well, thanks.
Couple of comments, and I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
The blue paint is 20 years ago. I found this out. I had a big horse barn, 17 horses, trying to deal with flies and spiders and all that. And some old timer told me, and we did the wasp. We did everything we could possibly do, and the only thing that worked was that blue paint. And I'm just a believer in it.
Did it? It got rid of flies as well as the other things.
Oh yes,
that's great. Yeah, it's amazing how well it works. I've told people about it for a long time, but I continue to be flabbergasted seeing my properties where I did it myself, and there's nothing, gets.
They just
added.
It repels them. They're scared of it, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing is, help one of your other callers. I'm a master plumber, and I've actually deal with transite pipe all the time and asbestos, and actually went through a 2-day class on it.
Okay.
On asbestos. And it's a fiber, almost like a stingray's tail. It's a microfiber.
Right.
That actually locks itself into your lungs. So it's only dangerous when it's airborne, like you said.
Yep.
And a lot of it is in our soil because that's what we used. And that's plumbers just left the old pipe that was there. They just left it in the soil.
Right.
So really not a big threat.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's what my gut feeling was, but I'm glad to hear that from somebody else.
The question I have is, I love Japanese maples, and I have four of them in my yard, different varieties. And I waited to my last purchase, was one of the most expensive you can get. It was just a lush, beautiful 4 foot tall, I can't even call it right now by name, but it's not the waterfall, it's not the green leaf or the crimson red or leaf lace. It's similar to the leaf lace.
It's a deep, deeply cut leaf.
Yeah, and it's just a burgundy, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful tree.
Okay, it could be Crimson Queen is one that I have that's similar.
That may be what it is, Crimson Queen.
Okay.
And but when I got it, it was lush and just vibrant. I planted in a perfect spot, and it's literally 12 feet away from another one that's doing great, not the same variety. But I put it in, and then the edges of the leaves kind of turned a little bit on me. and I watched it and watched it, and then it just got worse and worse and worse, and it wasn't lack of water. Really treated the soil before I planted it. And then it just got extreme, and I finally took it, pictures of it and a leaf and took it up to Covington's where I got it and asked the pro about it. And he said that, oh, it's just, you know, from you just planted it 3 months ago and it just hasn't established itself, just let it go on. It doesn't look like it's really hurt that bad. And so I said, all right. And I still went around asking different people about it, and one lady recommended that I put this Bear product on it. It was Bear tree and shrub. It's kind of a lime green product. I mixed it up just right, poured it around the base of the root. And all of a sudden, new little leaves started coming out, little blooms, late in the summer, too, like last month. And it just started blooming, like, on half of the tree. The little blooms that hang down, the whole thing. It was just doing great. Probably made a couple of hundred brand-new leaves on it. And now those brand-new leaves are shriveling up.
Yeah. What, did you plant the tree yourself, Doug?
Yes.
Was it balled in burlap or in a container?
That's the main thing. It was in a container, but when I pulled it out of the container, the bottom of the container looked like it was a container that they used from something else because it almost had like a moldy potting soil kind of packed in the corners.
What they do a lot of times, in fact, this is a very important part of my lectures when I show people that my tree presentation is planting trees properly, and I show a dwarf Japanese maple that I planted myself that I pulled out of a container, and it's balled and burlapped in the container. I opened the burlap on the top, and I found about 3 inches at least of soil, excess soil on top of the ball under the burlap. So that's the first thing you need to do is get down there and make sure you get down to the true flare of the tree. Japanese maples coming into nurseries are pretty notoriously too deep in the container. Not as bad as lace bark elms and Chinese pistachios, but almost as bad. And that's probably what you're dealing with. The only other thing that could cause that is too much or too little water, and the too deep in the ground can be related to that as well. Putting a chemical on it and causing it probably, you know, gave it a shock or something and caused some new growth, but as you saw, it wasn't a long-lasting kind of thing, so I wouldn't do that again. But if there is some disease involved, Japanese maples, my Crimson Queen, the edges are burned a little bit this year on my tree, and it's because of the kind of roller coaster weather, and we probably kept it a little too dry or a little bit too wet at one period of time. It's in a big container. It's not in the ground. So do the sick tree treatment. Pull the soil off of the base of the plant. Do the rest of the sick tree treatment, which is explained on dirtdoctor.com, and I think your tree will be fine.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck. Send me some pictures. Before and afters. Right. I think that'll take care of it, though. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Frankie family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard Backley, we've got a lot of catching up to do, but a couple of things I wanted to work in here. I mentioned last week that Judy and I are fostering a dog, and we're still fostering a dog. It may be turning into more than that. She's a doll. Nellie is her name, and we're going to keep you posted on it, and she's such a fascinating mix of dogs, of breeds, we think, that we're going to do the contest that I've done in the past with my dogs and have a prize for the winner. I don't know the company that does the animal breeds and can tell you what the thing is. The one that we used before is still not around, so I'm going to have to figure out which one I'm going to use. If any of you have had any experience with any of those kind of companies that where you do saliva and send in, they tell you what all the breeds are, let me know. Otherwise, we'll probably get something going in the next couple of weeks and bring you up to date on our new little family member there. The other thing before we go to the phones is that I've gotten some questions, and I meant to bring this up in the first hour, and I forgot it. Brown Patch in St. Augustine's kind of showing up. You know, we're keeping St. Augustine green pretty long here, especially in the south with this warm weather. And brown patch is showing up, especially where people are using synthetic fertilizers, which we don't recommend, of course, and watering too much. And then the people that, you know, recommended the things that caused the disease in the first place are using toxic chemical fungicides like Bayleton and Diconil and those kind of things, which we don't recommend. If you have brown patch, if you have a neighbor that has brown patch or any other fungal disease, that's the most common one you're going to run into. The solution is a piece of cake. It's whole ground cornmeal. The naysayers, ignore them. Just get it and use it at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. You'll be amazed. It works beautiful. You don't have to do it, but because it's not a killing disease, but it looks bad. And we may have enough warm weather still to where it would green back up. And if it, even if it doesn't, if it gets cold and it all turns brown, it's going to help you with the disease control and the health of your turf for next year. And this will help you with any kind of turf, whether it's southern stuff. St. Augustine primarily is where the brown patch is, but any kind of disease in Bermuda, zoysia grass, buffalo grass, or any of the northern grasses like fescue and bluegrass or any other grasses. Whole ground cornmeal, 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet is what you want to use. Okay, before people start dropping off here, Gilbert in Chicago next up. Hello, Gilbert.
Hello. I'm calling regarding the morning glories. How is it that I can control them, or better yet, how can I get rid of them? For the past 2 years, they've just gone too crazy.
All right, now, are we talking about bindweed, or are we talking about ornamental morning glories with big 3-inch flowers?
We talking yeah, that last one.
Well, that's good because they're a lot easier to control. You can pretty much hoe them out and pull them out, throw some mulch on the top, and those morning glories are pretty much shut down. They can't take that real abuse like that. And if you get them trying to grow back, you can spot spray with the vinegar herbicides, you know, strong vinegar. Bindweed, which is a morning glory, it has a little half-inch flower, either white or pink. They're a terrible weed because you pull them out and any little piece that you've left in the soil will grow again. So it's a do it and do it over and again and over and over and over again and spot spray and continue to work on it for a long time. So that one's a tough weed. The big flowers are pretty easy.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Okay. Get to work. Yeah, and they like the cool soil. Actually, I think they're pretty and generally don't cause a problem. Pat in Sadler, Texas, next up. Hello, Pat.
Hello. How are you, Howard?
Doing well. Thank you.
Well, when I turned the speaker off, I lost you. Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I turned the speaker off so I could hear you. I have a question. I bought a hibiscus back in the springtime,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a pot, and I want to put it in the ground now. Is it the time of year that I should do it?
Well, it depends on what kind of hibiscus it is, Pat. Is it the one that has shiny, dark green leaves and real bright colored flowers?
Yes, it has bright yellow flowers.
Okay, that's a tropical, and you cannot grow it outside here in Texas,
okay.
Unless you're down in, you know, the southern tip of the state and having really warm weather. It gets killed at about 32 degrees. Now, there is a perennial hibiscus that we leave in the ground. It dies the ground, comes back every year, but it's the one that has the great big flowers, 6 or 8 inches across, and they're either white or generally a more pastel color, and the leaves are a dull, matte kind of finish. They're not shiny green leaves.
Yeah, the leaves feel kind of rough when you touch them on it.
Well, if it's a perennial, it may be. If they're rough and have a little bit of texture to it, and they're not real shiny and slick, that's a perennial, and you can put them in the ground. They'll overwinter without any problem. You can put them in the ground right now.
Yeah, that's what I kept telling my husband. I thought this was the time of year to put it in the ground. I brought it in when it got cold, you know, last week, and so I've got it in the house right now.
Well, if it's a perennial, it's not going to make it, and yellow flowers are kind of throwing me a little bit. Most of the time, the perennials are other colors and not the bright colors like yellows and bright red so much. They tend to be more a little bit more muted colors. You see what I mean? So if it's perennial, it's fine. Put it in the ground, water it in real well, put some shredded native tree trimmings mulch over it, and next spring it'll pop out of the ground and do fine for you. If it's tropical, it's history.
And you these leaves are rough. I mean,
it's probably perennial then, and should be fine to get it in the ground. Cut it back now. They're not going to do well in this weather from this point forward. So put in the ground, cut them back, put some mulch over the top. Wait till next spring.
Well, where would you put it? Would you put it in a flower bed?
Put it in a bed that gets full sun.
Okay, all right.
They need full sun to bloom well. I've got some at home that I don't have much full sun that I've put over in some areas that get maybe a half a day, and they limp along, bloom a little bit, but not very much. They like it full, blazing, hot sun.
Okay, all righty. And I heard that man talk about the blue paint. What about the horse flies, keeping the flies away?
Yeah, he was talking about using Haint blue paint, which I recommend all the time on the inside of his barn, and it got rid of flies and spiders and everything else, and it will do that. You can go to our website and look up Haint blue paint, and it's spelled H-A-I-N-T, Haint like ghosts and goblins. That's where the name came from. Haint blue paint, and it repels insects and birds, swallows and everything else. They don't like it. They stay away from it.
Okay, we have your website, so I'll have my husband look it up.
Okay, check it out.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Let's see what's up with Beverly in Burleson, Texas. Hello, Beverly.
Hi, Howard. We appreciate all your books, and we use them for reference. They're great.
Well, thank you.
My husband. You're welcome. We've been listening to you for years. Why do people paint the base of their trees white, and is that healthy?
Huh. Interesting question, and it's kind of got an interesting answer. There's actually research from the ARS, Agricultural Research Service, which is part of the USDA, showing that painting or whitewashing the base of fruit trees, I think in the research they did pecans and maybe some other fruit trees, helped with repelling certain root aphids and other pests, borers, and various things. So there's actually scientific research showing that it does help with some pest control. I think it's mostly done in the country, though, as a decorative thing. People see it and they think, well, I like the way that looks, and they do it as well. It's something that I recommend for people who think that they're going to get or are getting sunburn on the trunks of thin-barked trees. And it works beautifully. You mix paint, and you can use white. That's what the research is based on. But what I recommend to people is to get a latex paint, non-toxic latex paint, that's about the color of the bark. Brown or gray or, dark color combination. Mix it with water about 50-50. So you make, you play like you're Tom Sawyer. You're making a whitewash, and you whitewash, although it's a color, it can be white or the color, either one. You whitewash, you paint it on the trunk, and then that trunk will actually grow it off as it enlarges and grows. It's a beautiful way to do it instead of wrapping it with gauze or paper or burlap or something like that, which I do not ever recommend except in one case, and that's where a porcupine or a beaver or a deer or whatever animal has completely girdled a tree. And in that case, we use tree trunk goop, we slather it on the wound, and then we soak burlap in the tree trunk goop, and we wrap it on there, and we keep it moist on the tree. That's the only time I recommend wrapping anything around a tree trunk. But the painting is a good thing to do if it's a tree that is going to be susceptible to sunscald, like a hybrid maple or a you know, a tree has been grown in a nursery too close together and it was shaded out, and then you've put it out on the project in full sun on the south and west sides, burning can be an issue there. But wrapping, it's not the answer. The whitewash is the solution.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And we don't forget to feed the birds.
All right. Way to go.
Have a good day.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, there are some people that still recommend wrapping the trunks of trees, especially red oaks, and it's about the goofiest thing you can do. It really causes more problems than solve. It creates an environment that insects are actually love and can lead to disease and all kinds of things. So if burn is an issue, and that's usually on a bad tree, use the whitewash. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are now available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers across the United States. Get them today.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is a great product. It's specifically blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supply major nutrients and trace minerals for a strong, healthy soil and mouth-watering vegetables. Of course, these products are safe for people and pets. You can visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. These products are sold all across the country. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrijuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, Spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. There's something I was supposed to catch up on, and I forgot what it was. So let's do this first. Candace in Arlington, Texas. Hello, Candace.
Hello, Dr. Garrett. How are you this morning?
Doing well, and you?
I'm okay, thank you. I have never had any seasonal allergies. Never.
Good for you.
Yes, indeed. My son-in-law suffers with them terribly, but oh well. I'm going to be 68 this month, and I've never had any allergies. But anyway, except one time my daughter came over wearing a particular perfume.
Yeah.
My eyes started watering, my nose started running. She said, "Now I know what's wrong with my cat. It's a perfume," and she got rid of it. But anyway, the last two or so weeks, my cat and I have been sneezing ourselves to oblivion. Huh. Do you know anything different going on in the environment?
I don't. I was just thinking about seeing your note, wondering if it's time for the cedar pollen to be blowing around, and it shouldn't be exactly that yet. That should be later on, I would think. Ragweed may still be blooming. In some places it probably is. So that could be it. You look into it, do some research on ragweed. It's the one that a lot of people think that goldenrod is gives you allergies, but it doesn't. It's a real heavy pollen and not a problem at all. It's a beautiful perennial. But ragweed,
where does that come from? We have a lot of big trees around here.
No, ragweed's just a broadleaf weed. It's kind of low-growing to 5 or 6 feet high. It has white flowers. There may be some elm blooming at this point. There could be different kind of things. I tell you, one thing that I'm doing right now that will help with the cedar long term that you may want to consider in case that's it, if you have the native cedars, the eastern red cedar or the ash juniper, either one, eating a few of the berries from time to time. I just take some off my own trees and munch on them every few days. I like the taste. Okay. Some people probably wouldn't, but I think it'll help with various natural allergies.
All right. I just couldn't imagine because I've never had any allergies. You know?
Yeah, look into ragweed and try the juniper berry. See if it doesn't help you with some relief there.
Okay, I will. I certainly will. Thank you so much for your information.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I better do something. I know what it was. I forgot, or I'm going to totally forget it. And that's the report from Mother Earth News, their tip for sustainable living. Root vegetables. It's a good one. Root vegetables that grow well below the ground can be mulched in the fall and dug as you need them during the winter. This may work for a whole bunch of root crops, but maybe not all of them. I'm going to throw in a little editorial here as we go. They say, but it's always safer and more convenient to harvest the roots, dust off the dirt, and stash them in cold storage. If you live in zone 7 or warmer, a second refrigerator is worth considering. Store your root vegetables in plastic bags in the refrigerator. Be sure to sprinkle a few drops of water as you pack each bag. In colder climates, above 7, you can pack the root vegetables in buckets packed with damp sand or sawdust stashed in cold spots around your homestead, such as under your basement stairs or in an unheated garage. You can also bury a garbage can at least a foot deep and then store your root vegetables in damp sand or sawdust packed inside. In spring, you can shake the sawdust off into the garden. If you've used sand, you can dry it in the sun and then store it until needed again in the fall. Every few weeks, dump out your containers and repack them, eating any roots that are beginning to soften. I'm a little head-scratching about the moisture because I've had much better luck storing sweet potatoes, Irish potatoes, bulbs, and things like that in completely dry peat moss. Peat moss is antimicrobial. That's why we don't recommend it for bed preparation or potting soils or anything else. But it's wonderful for storing things. But these people, you know, have been involved in this a long time, so there must be something to it, some moisture in your root crop storage. Anyway, for more information about vegetable storage tips or sign up for a free newsletter from Mother Earth News, just go to their website, MotherEarthNews.com. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Linda's turn, calling from Frisco. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I need to know how to get rid of roof rats in my attic.
Roof rats, they're tough. They're the ones that I've had to deal with over the years. We get them coming in from the creek, and it's best to get a pest control company like EcoSafe to come in, a company that specializes in rodents. The typical repellents like fox urine and red pepper and things like that seem to work only temporarily on the roof rats. They're a tough pest, as you realize, to control. And what we've done and had the most luck with is using baited snap traps, the ones that are inside of black boxes, you know, and actually trap and kill them. So that would be my best advice, but getting a good company to help you with it is probably in order. Let me put you on hold if you had something else because I got to run for a second here, Linda. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The number is 866-444-3478. DirtDoctor.com is the website.